Well, hey, cousins, you were listening to Revolutionary Hood Rat with Kim Young of Dope Black Social Worker, and welcome back. So look, we have no guests this week. I have no revolutionary news this week. I do have a whole bunch of feelings and thoughts. And I was like, well, let me go back to the roots and the foundations of why I decided to get this microphone in the first place and start this podcast, which was to sort my feelings and thoughts and experiences out in community with y'all utilizing this platform. So I'm going to do that this week. Because there's just a couple of things that have been eating at me that I was like, well, let me figure out how I feel about this. One of the best ways that I figure out how I feel about things is by talking them out. So the first thing is, you know, for those who don't know, I live in Richmond, Virginia. And so I have been living in Richmond, Virginia since 2011. And let me tell you something. This is, I've never experienced a city like this. And I'm not saying that for good, bad, or otherwise. I have just honestly never experienced a city like Richmond, Virginia before. And I believe where it comes from is, you know, like the South is a special place in America. The South is a very special place in America. It has its own culture, set of codes, traditions, right? Like the South lets you know that America is fucking America. You know what I'm saying? And although my family's roots are in Louisiana, I was born and raised in California. So there is obviously a lot of ignorance. And even to this day, just can be naive about what it means to be not only in the South, but in the capital of the Confederacy, Richmond, Virginia. And when you really think about the history, what's in the soil here, what's in the air here, the energy here, it is a special, special place. It's also a place of beautiful Black resistance. That is often overshadowed and silenced by Richmond not having a collective Black consciousness. Richmond also not having collective Black power, economic power, political power. Richmond has a lot of Black social capital, but doesn't have a lot of Black power in the city because white money very much so still controls the city of Richmond. So I'm saying all of this to get to the point of there are a lot of Black faces in the city of Richmond that are propped up in front of us, that talk at us when things happen or when things don't happen, that try to console or play to Black stereotypes or just stereotypes of poverty, actually poverty and oppression in general. And it's often packaged in a Black body, even though that Black body is controlled by white dollars, and that Black body will perform for the white gaze when they're not talking to Black, brown, and poor people in the city of Richmond. And so, like, the politics and politrics of it all here in the city, when you've been so proximate to it, like literally sitting across from the people who hold these offices, who I guess assumingly make decisions, even though real talk, a lot of these elected officials or people that are working in city government, they don't really have no autonomy for real to like do what the hell they want to do. They answer to a lot of different people, and the people that they answer to are not the folks, right? Not the people that make up the city for what it is. Not the people that give the city life, bring the culture into it. Not the people that will be here when their time passing through the city of Richmond is done. And so where I'm coming from is like this place of frustration, and I'm sure it can be applied to other localities or other situations that people are probably experiencing in their own communities, of like things happen at the community level every single day that rarely get the attention of those that are in decision-making power and influence, and they wait, right, until something really bad happens when they want to all of a sudden start talking about shit, implementing shit, and thinking about, oh, well, maybe we need to do something about this. And so Richmond, from the gaze of those who are not connected in community, they are saying that we have experienced an increase in gun violence and community violence. And truth be told, like, people who live in it, people who are a part of that work. Like, this shit ain't no increase for real, for real. Like, kids been dying. People been getting shot. Folks been getting evicted. People been going without food and shelter. Like, this shit is not new. And so when things happen and then they get on the news and start talking cash shit about, oh yeah, we need to start enforcing these rules and these policies, and we need people to speak up and say something. We need to put the guns down. We need to blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Shut up. Because it really, at the end of the day, all that shit being a performance. And they be banking on the ignorance of just the general public to not know what the hell is going on, because it is so difficult to be informed about what is happening around you, what is happening politically, locally, for sure. It is not like this process is inclusive or information is easily accessible to my neighbors, right? Where they're included in decisions that are made, where they are informed about what is happening in the city where they live and they work and they play. And so, like, when these people just start showing up and performing care, it's insulting as hell. It's insulting as hell, especially when you have experienced the loss, when you hear the gunshots, when you see the results of the violence. Richmond is not a big city. There is 0 degree of separation in the city. So when something happens in one neighborhood, or when something happens to one family, that shit stretch across the entire city. People feel that. Like, whether they know intimately the individuals impacted or not, everybody knows somebody here. Everybody is connected to each other in some way. And I think that's what makes Richmond really beautiful for me, because I come from a large city where it's so big, you can't get in nobody else's business but your own. Like, you know, I jokingly say, even though it's true, like, coming from San Diego County, my county, the population of the entire county is like, what, a third of the population of the entire state of Virginia? And so, like, we don't got no time to be able to show the certain level of care, I would say, community care. It's not really a part of the culture to really show, like, the certain level of community care that I certainly see in the city of Richmond, not just in like a certain neighborhood, but the way Richmond cares about the entire city of Richmond, like, regardless of the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really unique for me. Community care at the neighborhood level, see that shit all day long at home. But community care across an entire city, I ain't never seen no shit like this before. And so it really makes me honored to be able to have called Richmond home for so long, and honored that Richmond embraced me. Because it's also the type of city where, like, if they don't rock with you, they don't rock with you. And they also make you earn that shit. Like, Richmond, I feel like I went through a hazing process for a solid decade. Like, Richmond make you earn that shit. Because there's a lot of people who pass through Richmond for their own gain. Like, they come and they take from the people. They come and they take from the city. And then they leave it. Right? And don't even leave it better than how they found it. Like, they leave it. They siphon away the resources, the richness, the wealth of not just financial wealth, but the wealth of the culture here. And so for me to have been embraced by the city of Richmond, I don't take that shit for granted, which is why when I see these talking heads get to just speaking wild about a city that they ain't even really took no time to get to know and really care about. Right? But a city where they just observe what's happening here, but don't be amongst the people, don't touch no dirt, no grass, no nothing in the city. But yet they want to try to lead it. Yet they want to try to decide what happens and what doesn't happen, when at the end of the day, like, a lot of these folks that are in these positions of power and influence in the city of Richmond are afraid of the people in the city of Richmond. They're afraid. And because they're afraid, they don't even know how to show care, if they even have it. And so this, the enforcement of these policies and practices and laws that are rooted in fear and not rooted in kindness, care, restoration, healing, reduction of harm and trauma, shit is fucked up. And the people that continue to suffer are the ones that are most proximate to the pain and suffering here in the city of Richmond. those living in poverty, the young, right? The vulnerable, the ones pushed to the margins of society continue to suffer while everybody else in power, they just gain. At whose expense? Because to them, yeah, there's an increase in gun violence in the here in the city of Richmond because, you know, young people have lost their lives in a short span of time here. So now people are just hyper-focused on it. Okay, cool. You're paying attention now. And I'm going to tell you right now, more are going to die because they've been dying. They've been getting shot. They've been doing the shooting. It's not going to stop. And do you think they want to? Hell nah. They don't want to have guns and shoot and do these things. But the way life is set up for them, if they don't have the guns and they don't have the weapons and they become the target, and then they the ones that die. The weight of having to prepare to stay alive each day, that shit is insane. And when you really think about it, you get up and you're thinking about how do I live through the day? How do I enjoy my day? How do I bring joy to other people? How do I show care and concern for myself, my community, and other people? You get up and you think about how you just live that bitch, how you make it to the end of the day. That's not normal. But that's the reality for so many poor folk, so many black and brown folk in the city of Richmond and across this country, where they get up and they got to figure out how do I just stay alive? And one of the ways that they feel like they can stay alive is by carrying a gun. That shit is not like rocket science. It's actually very sensible when you think about it. They deserve so much more. They deserve better than what they're getting. And the day that I'm talking about are black and brown people in the city of Richmond and across the country that are in cities like Richmond. Got these people out here that have influence and power over their lives that don't even like them. They don't even like them. They're afraid of them. They don't care if they live or die, truth be told. They don't care if they're sheltered or unsheltered. They don't care if they have food or don't have food. They don't care if they have strong family attachments and bonds and relationships. They don't care. They pretend and perform care because it benefits their end game. Whatever that may be. But to really care about somebody is not just to show up when shit gets bad. You show up through it all. And you don't switch up. So, my heart is hurting right now. In a way that, like, I'm always in a state of rage. I already know what that is. Like, I live that. I'm constantly in a state of rage. But right now, I'm pissed the hell off. So I got to move through it. I got to feel it. I'll come back down to just my normal stage of rage. But right now, I am pissed the hell off because I am tired of people who have so much power and influence over the lives of other people, not caring about people. And I also understand that I can't make anybody care about anyone, especially inside of the systems of capitalism and supremacy. Getting someone to care about somebody is not how you really get shit done. And I understand that. It would be nice if you can appeal to the sensibilities of those to get them to care and have empathy and be kind, but that shit don't work in capitalism. But that doesn't mean that I still can't continue to have my feelings, right, operate within my realm of expertise and understanding, leading with empathy, compassion, and kindness for people and keeping the people first always. Like, fuck this politics shit. Like, fuck this politics shit, which is, you know, one of the reasons I know I ain't going too far up the ladder of whatever ladder these people be out here trying to climb, because I don't know how to perform that shit. And I also know that, like, I don't want to live a life where I'm not on the side of the people, because people have taken care of me thus far because I take care of people. And so I will never turn my back or give up or disconnect from people. That's the heartbeat. That's the pulse. That's what keeps me rooted and grounded and understanding what my purpose is. So I'm always going to ride for the people here in the city of Richmond and just across the globe, right? The global community of the oppressed. So that's the first thing that has been weighing heavy on my heart and on my mind. The other thing that has been weighing heavy on my heart, nah, shit, fuck that. It ain't been weighing heavy on my heart. I'm just confused. I'm confused. And it has a lot to do with the celebration around the social work licensure compact. So if I'm understanding this correctly, there are now enough states that have passed legislation to adopt the social work licensure compact. And like everybody is celebrating this shit. And I'm trying to figure out like, why? Why? Like we're celebrating that there is now an additional layer of oversight and regulation that is going to decrease access, equitable access to social work licensure, instead of really focusing on how the ASWB and other state legislators and social workers across the country fought against legislation that would provide equitable pathways to licensure. Like, I'm just really confused about that. Like, we're celebrating this social work licensure compact for licensure portability for a group of people that are already privileged within the profession, instead of focusing our attention and efforts on how do we make social work licensure actually accessible and equitable. On top of that, how many people with a social work license are really trying to like practice in other states? Many of us just want to get a license to be able to do the damn work where we live. Like, people ain't really on that hype and energy of trying to have, you know, a virtual private practice where they can practice across all these state lines. Nah, like there are a lot of clinical social workers who are just trying to get this license to do good work physically in community. They ain't on this private practice wave bullshit. And so like the social work compact license, I think a lot of people just misunderstand what is happening. Because the social work license compact, now that you have enough states that are signed on for it, now these states got to work together to determine what the goddamn rules are going to be. There are no rules to how this is going to go. So now the regulatory boards for the states that have signed on to the compact, now they start a whole new process of creating a whole new level of licensure for those to have to abide by. Like, people think like, oh yeah, this is going to be super easy. Oh, okay. And like, how are you going to get all these different state laws to be in some sort of alignment with each other? How do you know, like for me, if I have my license is here in Virginia and I'm on to the, you know, I go and apply and get me a state compact license because it is a whole separate license. How can they ensure that I'm following the laws, rules, and regulations for social work practice in a state that I don't live in? I don't even know the rules and regulations. Every state is different. The profession of social work is not regulated equally. Every state make their own goddamn laws. So how do I know that my little license in Virginia, let's just say if Florida has signed on to the compact, that I'm not practicing a certain intervention or treatment modality that is illegal in Florida, or that might be illegal in Texas, or that might be illegal in Arizona? I don't know if any of these states signed on, but you get the drift. Like, this shit is about to be complex in a way that people probably just haven't considered. They just see, oh, well, if I get this license, I can practice in all these different states. Yeah, cool. And possibly open yourself up to liability and litigation for violating laws and regulations in those states that you're unaware of. I really wish that we would get focused and reconnected with the roots and the foundations of this profession and this field. And licensure is not that. One more time, licensure is not that. Licensure is not the work. It's not the work. It's a tool that helps you get access to different resources to be able to do the work, but that shit ain't the work. And so with so many people focus on the celebration of the social work compact license, continue to think about the countless other social workers and colleagues who can't pass a fucking test to get a license, who have spent thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to get a fucking license and can't pass a test. How do we fix that? To hell with this social work compact license. What about all the people who can't even get in the door? When we out here creating more doors for them to try to open up. It don't make no sense. It doesn't make any sense. And I can't make it make sense for me because it doesn't. Like, it doesn't. And I'm, you know, you're going to get the people. We can still celebrate our wins and keep working. Nah, fuck that. I don't want to celebrate this. Because all I'm thinking about the people, I'm thinking about the ones that is being harmed by this, the ones that are forgotten by this, the ones that will be erased by this. Ooh, child. And this is why my ass about to be on vacation next week. This precisely why. Life is beautiful. And life can become overwhelming when you have this level of awareness and when you pay this level of attention to what's going on in the world. This shit can get incredibly overwhelming and exhausting. Now, do I feel overwhelmed and exhausted by all the things in the world? Absolutely not. There are times I feel overwhelmed and exhausted by people looking at me to have something to say about everything that's going on in the world. I don't always got something to say, and I'm cool with that. But those two things in particular, I had to let that shit off. And I'm grateful that anybody that tuned in to be in this with me right now, like, I'm grateful for you. I truly am. So with all that being said, let me just go ahead and offer a good black word for the week and get up out of here. So my good black word for the week is just to lay your ass down and say no. How about that? How about if we just focus on those two things? Just to lay our asses down and say no. Yeah. Ain't nothing deep or profound that I want to offer up around those two things. I want you to sit with that and figure out what it means for you. Lay your ass down and say no. That is a good black word for the week. And that's all I got. As always, I am deeply grateful to be connected and in community with you all. And you already know what it is. Like, please remember to take care of your heart so that we can take care of each other. Because at the end of the day, we all we got. And we need each other. Y'all be well, and I will chat with you when I get back from vacation.